Hi there, this is Michael Lowry, pastor of East Congregational United Church of Christ in Concord, New Hampshire, and this is the Love to Tell the Story podcast. Well, as you're listening today, Christmas Day 2023 may have come and gone, but you know the greatest gift of Christmas, the birth of Jesus our Emmanuel, remains. Truly, at the heart of Christmas, at the heart of our Christian faith is that remarkable gift. And at the heart of all that is a cross. Based on the story of Jesus' presentation at the temple from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40, here's today's message. And it begins with some thoughts on the realities of parenting. It was actually one of the great parenting insights that I've ever received. And it's one that I, to this very day, have never forgotten. It was many years ago now, and it's when our children were very young. As I recall, Jake was in preschool. Sarah was just a toddler, and Zach wasn't even born yet. But as young parents often do, one day I found that my overtired, stressed-out self was in the midst of a rather detailed and passionate rant. And it was directed towards a church member, and it was regarding some stage or another that our kids were going through at that moment. But what I remember about this is that if it was sympathy I was looking for, folks, it wasn't happening with this particular parishioner. Because all he did was just laugh and laugh and laugh. He was the father of two daughters, you see, both of whom were in college, striking out on their own. One was thinking about getting married. And after I had gone on and on about all my complaints, he just said, "Trust me on this one, Michael. No matter how old they get, they're always going through some kind of stage. Get used to it, because so will you." Yep. Well, 30 years later as a parent, now as a card-carrying grampy, I can confidently report to you that truer words have rarely been spoken. They always go through stages, and so do we. Actually, you know, I've been thinking a lot about all of this in these days just after Christmas. I mean, after all, we do talk a great deal this time of year about the joy and the wonder of newborn babies, don't we? And yeah, I know, I'm as guilty of this as much as anyone, perhaps more so. Because I realize that both of my messages last Sunday alluded, at least in part, to the beautiful and serene vision of Mary and Joseph at the manger, marveling at the newborn baby Jesus counting his fingers and toes, as the stars shined up overhead, as angels were singing in the distance. It's true. I love that image, that the idea that deep into that silent, holy night, the Holy Family was right there, kneeling at the manger. And they're there, and they're literally awestruck by this miracle of the divine. I mean, who doesn't feel that way on Christmas Eve in particular? And yet I also realize, and you do too, that there's more to it than that. And that what we don't often talk about on Christmas Eve is that the birth of a baby is just the beginning of what is going to be a long, arduous, joyful, and occasionally frightening journey. As any new parent can tell you, usually sooner rather than later, for every night that you spent cherishing this new baby and holding it close, there will be just as many nights spent pacing the floors, just trying somehow, some way to calm that baby down enough to go to sleep. And trust me, that is just the beginning. You know this. Soon enough, the new parents will be wearing out the floorboards fitfully, waiting late at night for the now grown baby to come home safe and sound, while fearing the worst the whole time. It's a long journey, and along that journey of parenthood, there are going to be skinned knees and broken hearts, There will be crocodile tears and major league meltdowns. Oh, Lord, deliver us from those meltdowns. And this is to say nothing of all the unexpected happenstances in your children's life when they're little and when they're grown up, folks. All those things that come along for which you are unprepared and which for which you feel incredibly ill-equipped to handle. Oh, yeah, there are going to be stages. But yes, the stages as much for you as with that child. As William Willimon has aptly put it, to be a parent means facing disappointments, fierce disagreements, words exchanged, paths taken, and others not taken. So he says, hold that baby in your arms while you can. Cherish and enjoy it, because there are going to be other days that are not so joyful. That's parenting, right? Children, by their very creation and by their nature, they bring us face to face with the future. A future that can be anticipated but never totally prepared for. In the end, all any parent can do is to live out that future day by day. To do in faith what you can along the way in preparing for whatever comes. And trusting God that whenever comes, everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to turn out right. And if that's true for you, or for me, or for any of us who have lived out that journey in one way or another, how much more so must it have been for Mary and Joseph? Most especially in those first few days following the birth of Jesus. Jesus, who was born this tiny, helpless, crying, hungry, needy baby, but who was also born the Messiah, the Lord, an infant full of God's glory. Now, Scripture tells us that Mary pondered everything that was happening all around them in the birth of this child. But you know what? You've got to imagine that at some point, amidst the wonder of the thing, if Mary and Joseph, along with her, ended up pondering about all the stages that lay waiting for them. Well, our text for this morning, which continues Luke's account of the Nativity story, tells us that Mary and Joseph stayed in Jerusalem a little while, or stayed in Bethlehem a little while after Jesus was born. That he was circumcised on the eighth day, as was the custom. And that he was, in fact, given the name of Jesus just as the angel had told them to do. This was all in fulfillment of prophecy and very much according to the customs of the Jewish community at the time. And then, And then around 40 days after Jesus was born, once again, this was according to custom, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, Luke says. That is, offering up a sacrifice, which because of their poverty amounted to a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, so to consecrate their child to the Lord. Again, I can't say this strongly enough. This was considered a sacred ritual. It was a duty required and performed by all faithful Jews. And so you just have to imagine, as David Lowes has put it, that Mary and Joseph must have been in a reverent, even solemn mood that day, the way many young parents in our congregations are when their first child is being baptized. There was a singular significance to what it was they were doing. So imagine then how startled, how frightened Mary and Joseph might have been when in the midst of this quiet procession into the holy courts of the temple comes Simeon. Simeon, old beyond years, but beaming with ecstatic revelation, coming right up to them so he could touch the child. And then, if that weren't enough, starting to sing, singing all about how this child was a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people Israel. It's important to recognize here that Simeon was neither a temple priest, nor was he any kind of biblical scholar. He was not, in one sense, even supposed to be there, but he was simply an old man full of faith. Simeon, we are told, had spent his lifetime looking forward to the consolation of Israel. He was, in the truest sense of the word, an Advent person, in that he was spending his time, his lifetime, waiting and watching for signs of the Messiah's coming. And according to the Holy Spirit, that time was now. So now, here's old Simeon, fairly well running into the temple. And he's scooping up the baby Jesus in his arm all the way from Mary and Joseph so he can hold this child in his arms. And once he's seen that angelic little face, once he's marveled at how something so tiny and so delicate can also be so divine. To quote David Lohse once again, after touching and feeling the promise of life which God had granted him through Christ, then he could accept death. Then he could accept death courageously and confidently in the light of God's promised salvation. Simeon could let go now because he recognized that the promise had been fulfilled. He knew what was happening, and it was worth the wait. Or in the elegant words of the old King James Version of Scripture, the Nunc Dimittis is what it's called. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. It's a beautiful scene, right? And Luke tells us that rather than being a little taken aback, the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about their young son. But you see, there's still more to come. After blessing the child and his parents, Simeon then looks to Mary, and as though to perhaps warn her of what is to come, he looks in Mary's eyes and he says, you know, this child is to be a sign that's going to be opposed. He'll be a figure misunderstood and contradicted, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And then here's the clincher. And oh yeah, Mary, by the way, a sword will pierce your own soul too. And though at that moment neither Mary nor Joseph could even begin to comprehend how it could possibly be, somehow they knew it was all true. Christmas is the story of a baby's birth. But it turns out that there's much more to this story than merely a tale of angels and shepherds and magi from the Far East bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For this child, this baby who is named Jesus, Emmanuel, Messiah, Christ the Lord, for this child, there are going to be many stages of his life that are yet to unfold. Beginning with a baptism of repentance in the River Jordan. Continuing on with great acts of healing and miraculous signs, with teachings that change hearts and lives and the world itself. And at last, with a triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem that will lead inescapably to the agonizing sacrifice that's being made on a wooden cross. It's a disturbing contrast, to be sure. All this talk of light and revelation and consolation on the one hand, and then this image of a sword piercing all the way down to Mary's soul. I also know it's not something that we really want to hear about on these days just after Christmas. I mean, we've been given this wonderful holy child that's fresh and new and full of joyful potential, so why can't we just leave it at that? But here's the thing, friends. Just as we understand that at the heart of Christmas is hope and peace and joy and love, just as we know that there is this amazing child at the heart of all of that that embodies these sure and certain promises, we also need to understand that at the very, very heart of Christmas is also a cross. Perhaps the most important part of this story is that the baby grew up. The baby grew up to bring change and new life. Christmas, you see, is the story of how God loves us so much that God chose to become one of us, to be born among us, to be raised among us, to live among us, and yes, to die among us. But old Simeon seemed to understand was if God was truly to bless and console us, if God wanted to reconcile us to himself, then he would have to confront everything we face in our lives, everything that we deal with within ourselves. He would have to know the best of who we are, but he would have to understand the worst of what we are as well. This is love, infinite love, friends. But it's also costly confrontation. And that's why if we look very carefully behind the manger of Christmas, we're always going to see, however faintly at first, a cross. A cross. His cross. For as the carol goes, Christ was born for this. Our Christ was born for this. Yes, at the heart of Christmas is a cross. And as the late Anne Weems once wrote, if there is no cross in the manger, there is no Christmas. If the babe doesn't become an adult, there's no Bethlehem star. For if there is no reconciliation, we cannot call Christ Prince of Peace. If we cannot go now even unto Golgotha, there is no Christmas in us. Weems goes on to say, if Christmas is not now, if Christmas is not born into the everyday present, if Christ is not in everything we confess to believing, then what has all this noise been all about? What is Christmas even been for us? Well, my dear friends, I'm here to tell you this morning that the noise that we have made this Christmas and continue making in this Christmas tide is the noise of true rejoicing. We are rejoicing that our God comes to redeem us from all the pain, the sin, the injustice, and the alienation that keeps us apart from God, that keeps us apart from one another, and that keeps us worn down. We are here to rejoice that Jesus Christ is born, that true joy has burst upon us, and that joy bursts forth even in the face of hatred, even in the midst of warring and cursing and disaster and abuse and anger and division. It is joy that bursts forth and brings us face to face with the future. A future of redemption, of newness of life, of unending hope. And our journey is just beginning. The future is just now starting to unfold. There are going to be a lot of stages to come, friends. Stages in the life of our Lord Jesus. Stages in our response to his teaching and his love and his care and his salvation. But for now, there's time to first maybe linger at the manger a little bit longer, and then maybe to stand together with old Simeon. And lest we forget, we really haven't talked about her today, but old Anna as well, the prophet that was at the temple day in and day out, anticipating something wonderful to come. For now we can stand with the two of them, that we can embrace the child with them. And then when it's done, the time is done, we walk boldly into the new future he's bringing us. And as we do, may our thanks be to God. Amen.
And that's the message entitled, At the Heart of Christmas is a Cross. Wrapping up our current sermon series all about the heart of Christmas, it was recorded during our December the 31st service of worship at East Congregational Church. By the way, as this new year of 2024 begins, we would love to have you join us in person for worship at East Church. We come together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the church on 51 Mountain Road, which is just off exit 16 of I-93 in Concord, New Hampshire. I would love the opportunity to welcome you personally to our worship, and I know you'll be glad you came. Well, for now, that's it for this episode of the Love to Tell the Story podcast. As always, I thank you for listening today and all throughout the year. And until next time, Happy New Year. And in 2024, may God bless you with great days every day. We'll talk to you soon.